Second and goal, 17 seconds. Freeman on the rollout. Freeman throws.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, DJ E2. Please stand up and give a warm round of applause for your host.
Yeah, what the fuck got next? Doing it big in 2011. Been an off season, y'all forget 10. We got the best show on the net, and we gonna bring it to you live. B and U stream every Thursday night. Old school and Doc always keeping it tight. If you got an email, then tell them where to write. Shouts to the chat room. If you want the podcast, shout to you too. We gon' do what we do. About to win it all like we did in 02. Now that's Buccaneer football, yeah. Hey, you know what? Hey, old school, why don't we go ahead and start this show up, you did?
Ask and ye shall receive, E2. It is I, Old School, from Valrico, Florida, here in Studio 76. The storms are coming. If you guys are local Floridians, you know what I'm talking about. The weather down here has been absolutely ridiculous. The amount of rain is tremendous. I'm sure we need it, but man, it is a friggin' mess, at least out here in Valrico. Welcome to the show tonight, everybody. It's great to have you here live for another installment of What the Buck here in 2013. We got a lot of really cool, exciting things to talk about tonight. A lot of them are kind of sentimental. We've also got a terrific guest coming in, Sander P. coming in from Bucks Nation, who stays up till about 4 in the morning to do this. And, you know, after calling out Fred the Gurr for being a big pussy and not being willing to do this, yeah, I had to rock the 99 for Warren Sapp. We'll obviously talk a lot about Warren Sapp. It was a big day for Bucks fans today. But I had to call out my man Fred the Gurr. He managed to stay out because I did straight call him out in front of the entire Twitterverse. Because Sander P. was willing to stay up and come on the show. And I'd love to have Fred on as a guest sometime, too, if his mom will let him stay up late enough or whatever the hell the case may be. Anyway, big shout-out. You saw the opening graphic was Warren Sapp. You guys know if you've listened for a while that Sapp's my favorite player. He has been for quite some time. And so this is a really big day for him. And then the big surprise with the retiring of the number was pretty exciting to me. And you can see the emotion. I've actually read his book and have enjoyed getting to know a little bit more behind the scenes in as much as a book is ever real. But I think as a Bucks fan, that was a pretty exciting thing to see happen. Because it was funny, Spent and I were actually talking this week. You do. So just a warning about that. Legs bending, warning for you too. You know, we were marked as a explicit podcast. I am free with my language. This is the internet. When I do stuff on the mainstream radio, I'm not able to do that. I watch what I say, but I don't watch what I say here. So if you are new, I should warn you. We should put a disclaimer actually in the bumper for the new folks. So at any rate, for those folks who are not aware of that, if you have children in the room, you should probably move them or say earmuffs. Anyway, it was really great. Spent and I were joking around about the worst-kept secret in Tampa. They were going to make this announcement on Thursday about Warren Sapp going into the Ring of Honor. I don't think anyone was surprised by that. And then Mr. Glazer coming in there and saying, you know, hey, the only way to keep a secret here is to not tell anyone, which was very, very funny. So anyway, big shout-out to Warren Sapp for that. I know a number of us are going up to Canton to see his enshrinement, which would be a lot of fun. I know, Jeff, but there are other folks here that aren't regulars who may not have known that. So it's a good point, though. It's a good point that we should probably put that in there. Speaking of bumpers, is Sapp actually the drink word? Man, you guys are going to be ripped out of the frame drunk if that's true. Oh, you guys will like this. You guys know I feature a different drink every evening. Some delicious strawberry energy drink from Crystal Light, courtesy of my SodaStream. Dan Patrick, if you're listening, man, hook a brother up. Martin Miggs, Mr. Martin Miggs, heard my cry for a new bumper. And he put together a little audio snippet. It's not really a bumper per se, but I think it's pretty cool. So I want to go ahead and throw that out there real quick. I want to go over a couple of things around some sponsors that are going on, set the stage for what we're talking about tonight, and then get right into it. If you guys have questions, other things like that you want to discuss, get them into questions at whatthebuck.net. Spence having problems with Ustream on her phone. Not sure if I can help her with that during the show, but at any rate, here it is from Mr. Martin Miggs. My godson should not be listening to a show like this. His parents should know better than that. Come on now. Here we go. This is from Mr. Martin Miggs.
Tampa. Tampa. Bucks. Josh Freeman.
Vincent Jackson, Claiborne back, Bowers healthy. Now that being said, George Costanza, Mr. Steve White.
Thank you.
See, now that's some funny shit. Right? It's interesting. The hell was I? Impartial as I'd like to think I am. Here's the thing.
So I give zero fucks.
Here's the thing. I don't care.
Right?
Because I give myself credit for being a relatively smart dude. At any rate, the only reason he should go in the game is if Josh is wheeled off on a fucking stretcher. Doug Martin, Mark Barron, Sean Golson, Levante David, McGreevis.
There you go, guys. That was by Mr. Martin Miggs. I don't even know what the hell to do with it, but I liked it, and I want to give him a big shout-out for putting it together. He's actually going to try and put together a new intro and a new outro featuring some of that material as well. Sanders out there pumping up his attendance on the show, which will be at about 9:15, which is great. But again, thanks to you. A couple of shout-outs as well. Black Ops, I told you guys before, has come back on. We're trying to get them up to platinum level as a sponsor. But they're coming on at a very minimum what they were last year, which is a bronze. As I understand it from Captain Bones, our boy John Amato is doing well and back in full force, and so we can expect Buccaneer Beads and Anywhere Transport to be back in the house, which is tremendous. And then Winghouse has already got approval for the sponsorship, but we're just waiting to see exactly what that looks like. What that could mean for us is having an actual home in Tampa. So we may do some live remotes there. Who knows what we'll do, but it looks like we may have our first large-scale corporate sponsor in the form of Winghouse over on Hillsboro. So good job by Roman and the whole crew that's out there trying to work to make those things happen. Our goals, as I mentioned before, are to try and secure enough sponsors to pay for the materials that go into the tailgate from a food perspective and a drinks perspective so that all of the proceeds that come in from the raffles and the other things that go on can go back out as charity. We'll also be doing our monthly get-togethers at the Winghouse as well, like Spence said. So all of that is so that when we get our 501c3, which we should have soon, we can be considered a very strong charity because most of our funds are going back out there. Can I put that song out there somewhere? Yeah, I'll put it up on the website. I think it's pretty cool. So anyway, big shout out to those guys. The tailgate planning is already underway. I know Spence building a matrix. We'll get with Chef Red. We're going to start doing some meal planning and start figuring out where everyone's going to be and what we're going to do so you guys know in advance, especially guys like Roman and Matt and those cats that do their custom unis and all that. We need to give them plenty of time so they can get their stuff together as well. One little shameless self-promotion. We're real close to 3,000 followers on Twitter. I didn't know this until the other day. Someone called it out. I think we're only about 30 short. So if you're on Twitter... Oh, Whiskey Willie's. My bad, bro. Thanks a lot, man. I didn't know if Whiskey Willie's was committed to back in, so that's great. About 3,000 followers. So if you're out there on Twitter and you're not following us, please do. Spread the word. If you don't mind retweeting our shit, that would be great because we can get that going. Before we get Sander in here, I want to do a couple of recaps. We had two events recently that some of you were able to attend and some of you were not. And yes, Ben, they are wardrobes. Come on now. I'm not making any fun. I'm not picking on Matt. I'm just saying. But the... what was I going to say? Oh, the two big events we had that went on were the official Buccaneer draft party at Raymond James Stadium for the round one, which, of course, we didn't have a pick in, but it was a chance for a coming-out party for Darrell Revis and Deshaun Golson and the other acquisitions. And some of our guys coming back from injury, like Adrian Claiborne, which is good to see. A couple of other players, Gerald McCoy and Josh Freeman, showed up as well, which was nice. But all in all, that party was a big steaming pile of dog shit, in my opinion. Now, a lot of people had a good time. Maybe I'm just an asshole. I've been called worse. I probably will be called worse again, but I thought it was a big piece of shit. The peanut butter collection, however, is going great. I'd love to get a count on the peanut butter. We can tell people about that. But I'm hoping that the Bucks take some of the feedback that I know a lot of us gave them about that draft party. If it comes back the same way next year, I will not be attending. It was a big waste of fucking time. Now, that being said, 800 jars of peanut butter. Are you shitting me? Oh, my God, that's amazing. For everyone who's been donating peanut butter for the peanut butter drive, thank you so much, Feeding America, that we're doing with the DoSomething.org. It's just amazing. It is just amazing how people have been stepping up and doing this. Our first get-together Matt said, I think we're going to break 100. We didn't think there was a chance. We broke 100, and then we thought 500 would be the number, and now it looks like we're over 800. And it's not just our family and the What the Buck family. It's extended families, which is really the amazing thing that's going on. And guys, I'm not going to belabor the charity thing, but damn it, we talk about it because we are more than just football here. It's amazing what KBR is doing and what outside groups are doing and additional pirate crews beyond KBR all coming together to do these sorts of things, which is absolutely phenomenal. Folks from other states doing this as well, so it's tremendous what you guys are doing. Draft party number 2, which was sponsored by Pewter Report, it was over at the Grill at West Chase, was a great time. It was a low-key event, probably 60 people. Josh Freeman showed up and answered questions, did a good job, and Roman got a great picture of him with the cornhole belt, and Josh is obviously going to be a topic of conversation. Now, this is going to be an interesting year for us, because you guys know that there are always going to be these divides, right? And sometimes it's in draft, whether you're Team Mo Claiborne or whether who it is, right? But the Josh Freeman debate is going to be heavy this year with the drafting of Glennon, and we'll talk to Sander about Glennon's draft and what that means, because immediately, Justin Pulaski, who I generally like a lot, jumped onto the bandwagon about the quarterback controversy, and now people are banging that drum, and it's a contract year for Josh, and people are ready to let the rookie take the snaps, and I just don't understand it, guys. I really don't. So we'll talk to Sander about that. But moral of the story, the event was terrific. If you get a chance to go to their event next year, I would recommend that you do it because it was a hell of a good time. And who the hell knows? We may do an event ourselves. Who knows? Maybe we'll join in. Why do they hate Freeman at Bucks Chat and call him a selfish asshole? I don't know. You know, I like a lot of the guys over Bucks Chat. I haven't been there in forever. I'm a horrible board member because I just haven't been able to do that. I don't understand the vitriol. There you go, Mr. Costanza. Bam! That's a big money word. The vitriol towards Josh Freeman, I don't get it, right? But it's not fair either because I know Josh at a different level than a lot of people do. But I see him out and about. I see him interact with folks. I don't get where that's coming from. What did Fred the Gurd just put in the chat room over there? How did he react when the Glennon pick came up? He had already left. He was there for a good time, but he had left by then. But knowing Josh, I mean, Josh doesn't take anything, you know, nothing really rattles him. And that's actually one of the problems, I think, that people have, is that he's so laid back. As far as selfish, I don't get that at all. But, I mean, then again, people are going to project a lot onto athletes. I was at a bar the other night. I know it's hard to believe. We're coming up on 9:15, so I'll try to make this short. Anyway, it's a great bar out here in the Valrico area, actually, called the Talking Pint. My intern, Carrie's best friend, Matt, is the proprietor. Great little spot for those of you folks right here in the Brandon area. And I'm sitting there, and I've got my jersey on. It was the night I left after the draft party. So I've got my jersey on. These guys are in there talking. One guy's talking about how much he knows about football, so I'm letting him do that. And he starts going off on Warren Sapp, and I asked him a couple questions. One, I told him it was difficult to hear him when he was speaking out of his ass. And the other one, I asked if he banged his girlfriend, because the way this guy spoke, it was a very personal anger, which I don't get. And what's nice is in our group, it doesn't seem to happen that much, because we don't know these guys personally. As much as I've had an opportunity to speak with guys like Josh or Adrian or these folks, it's terrific. But I can't pretend to be their friends. I don't know what the hell they do in their off season. Hell, he could beat up puppies for all I know. I just don't get to see that side. So, at any rate, it's interesting. Will Hoyler says that Freeman called Glennon to congratulate him, which doesn't surprise me. At any rate, we'll see how it turns out. I mean, the proof will be in the pudding, whether we like him or dislike him. I like Luke McCown, as Spent is prone to point out. I did. I think Luke McCown physically is similar to the kid we just picked up. Glennon, tall, lanky, skinny, big arm. But that being said, like him or not, if he doesn't get the job done, it's time to upgrade. Right? It's absolutely time to upgrade. And that is one of the beautiful things about the game that we love so much, is that the proof is always in the pudding. If you don't get the job done, then you get the hell out of the way. Right? And that's really what it comes down to. And Josh has got to put up or shut up this year. Now, I think he did enough last year to garner that respect, but many people don't. And here we are in a contract year, and we'll see. Hawk was out there, too. Roman apologized for the Tebow sign, which is funny. That's very, very funny. The articles for our boy Sander, when he calls in, if you guys don't know who Sander is, go to BucksNation.com. He's one of the primary writers out there. I'm not sure what his official title is. We'll ask him that when he gets in here. McCown was fast. He's not so fast anymore. His legs have seen better days. And that's the problem when you see kids, God, I'm so fucking old. What the hell? When you see guys whose ankles are the size of my wrists, you know, that's a risk that you have out there. And it sounds like it's not fair to cast that on someone. Richard Zeller says we need another QB without spending money. Well, if you need someone you don't have the money to spend on it, why get it? That's like saying I needed another car, but I didn't have enough money to buy one that ran, so I bought one that was broken down. That's just fucking stupid. Right? I mean, if you need another quarterback, if you're not sold on Orlovsky, which I could buy, I mean, I don't have a problem with it as a backup, but I get buy it. And you see something, Glennon, I get it. That's the funny part. A lot of people thought immediately that I was anti-Glennon. I wasn't. I just think Glennon would have been around at like 90. I don't think we had to pick him up in the third round. So, anyway, that was my, Parkley wasn't drafted. Exactly. There's plenty of people that were in front of him. Anyway, so Sander, why is it buffering? I'm not sure, Jonathan. On my side, everything seems to be fine. BucksNation.com, Sander's primary writer. We'll ask him what his official title is over there. And we'll get into some of his articles. Some of the articles that I picked out to discuss is the article about Mike Glennon as Matt Ryan. And Spent referenced that earlier as well. And a lot of people are kind of making that statement that they see the similarities between a Glennon and a Matt Ryan. Not that he's necessarily where Ryan is now, but that he could get there. Sander did a good synopsis of the draft grades from the major areas, and then Mike Williams, obviously, in the contract discussion as well. We'll see how that whole thing is going. And Chiano says he's watching a Glennon in college, too, like Sizzle says. I heard the quote, I missed on you once, I wasn't going to miss on you again. And that's fine. Like I said, I'm not against picking a guy up. You think third was right, says Legs Benedict. That's interesting. Why do you think that? Do you really think he wouldn't have been around later in the draft? Because I had not heard of this kid at all. Do we think he was that big of a sneak that he would have gotten up in there? That just seems unreal to me. But regardless, you want to develop that depth. Can you protect him? Does he have what you want? He does have the prototypical size that they like in this offense. And a big arm, you know, that those are all good things. So we'll see. I don't have a problem with him accumulating. It's just when they took him. Legs Benedict thinks that he would not have been available. I think you're kind of alone there, brother. But that's okay. I mean, it's complete conjecture at this point because he didn't go there. And what's funny is, I thought if you wanted to challenge Freeman Buckley, how is that hate, Reekin? Oh, be glad you're saying. Here we go. Here comes Sander. Let's get Sander in here. Hey, Sander, how are you, sir?
Hey, old school. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for staying up till 4 in the morning and then shaming Fred the Gurr to do the same thing.
You know, that's how it works, right?
It worked out very, very well. You know, I've talked about having Fred on before, but he always cries a little bit, and then he gets his pacifier and he goes to bed. So now I think that having been called out, shamed, and outdone by the great Sander, he will have to take me up on the invitation. So I was describing to folks, reminding them, actually, it's probably more the case, that you're one of the primary writers from Bucks Nation, but I don't know what your official title is with Bucks Nation. Are you owner, proprietor, editor-in-chief, poobah? What is it?
I'm not even sure myself. It's somewhere in my contract, but it might be blogger or manager or editor or whatever. Okay. I just do everything with the site. That's basically it.
Oh, okay. So everyone else doesn't do shit then. Is that what you're saying? Look at me causing trouble.
I've got a ton of great writers writing stuff, but I mean...
Well, that's awesome.
I'm the guy managing everything.
That's awesome that you have great writers. I'd love to find out how you get those guys, because I sure as hell can't seem to get any to write that often. But regardless, that's why I have guys like you on the show. Let's get things kicked off. You did a review, sort of a synopsis of a bunch of the core areas and the core writers who rated the Bucks draft. And you did your own little synopsis at the end. That's out there on BucksNation.com. Can you synopsize that? That may not be a word. I think it is synopsize. It is a word. Can you give me sort of a high-level overview what you thought the draft was, having now had a chance to look back over the entire package and review what's done? Because we have a pretty healthy debate going right now about the Glennon pick in the third round.
Well, I think most of the draft was just adding a ton of depth, a lot of different positions. You didn't get many starters. That was just Jonathan Banks, maybe, but I don't think he even starts. And maybe Akeem Spence. But everything was just depth. Like Mike Glennon, he's a backup. The two defensive linemen, they're going to be backups. Mike James is probably only going to be a special teamer,
right,
if even that. So you didn't see a lot of quality added, but you did get depth, and the Bucks did need a lot of depth.
Well, my question about depth, and so I went and I grabbed the roster off the site today, and then I started doing my stack rank, which I usually do. It's too early to really do it that well because we haven't seen any of these guys in pads yet, right? We haven't seen what they're going to do. We got a lot of names at a lot of positions, but like Steve White and I were going back and forth on Twitter. Names don't give you depth; they just give you guys names, right? Can these guys actually play? Is the question.
Yeah, but that's always the question, right? I do think, like, if you look at the Bucks roster right now, they have really, really good starters across the board at every position, except probably tight end. Like, that's still nothing. But once you get beyond that, we don't have a clue, right? We don't know if any of those guys can play beyond maybe linebacker. That's about it.
Well, offensive line, we had a chance by fire to see that these guys could play, right? You know, the thing is, what we did was then we took defensive line where we had some level of depth, and we ripped it out by the roots, and then we replaced it with unknowns. Not to say that the unknowns won't be better, right? I'm not saying that getting Daquan Bowers more snaps isn't going to lead to more production. I'm not saying that Akeem Spence can't be something special. I'm not saying any of that. And I'm not even saying that unknowns are a bad decision, but it doesn't seem as though, when I was looking at the roster, I think that the problem was I started having that feeling, remember in Raheem's first year where it was like build through the draft? I got a feeling we're building all of our depth through the draft, and we don't have any sort of old graybeards. Like Roy Miller, he's never going to be, he's not going to set the world on fire, but that son of a bitch is always going to make his assignment.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like we're missing those guys, the Ernest Grahams of yore.
Yeah, I think that's a point to that. I mean, you have Adam Hayworth.
He's a good example, a great example who we have.
Yeah. But, I mean, beyond that, who do you really have?
No one.
Do that.
Yeah. The linebacker is in particular is scary. If you look at our linebacker depth, let's just see, and this is a very healthy, well-informed Buck fan group that we have in this chat room. Let me filter my list here because I'm an Excel freak. Let me check out our linebacker spots. I only ranked, I think, four guys, right? The ones that everyone knows, Levante, Mason, Adam, and Dakota Watson. Someone name me the other linebackers we have.
Jonathan Casillas.
Yeah, Casillas. You got Casillas. Contrera?
Contrera is not. That's a special teamer, right?
Right. Najee Good? Well, I mean, Joe Holland? Willie Mosley? We don't even give this guy a fucking jersey number, right? So, I mean, it just scares me at that spot. And Leo TPP is right. We can build these guys, and they could build it. That's absolutely true. I'm not saying this is an entirely a bad decision. What I'm saying is part of me is afraid that it's too slanted to one side. There aren't enough Haywards in the mix with the coaching staff, especially on the defensive side, that doesn't have my confidence yet. And maybe that's the problem.
Maybe it is. Well, the problem is, where do you get those guys, right? Because if they're out on the street, they're out on the street for a reason, or they're going to be too expensive to fit under the cap because the Bucks do not have as much cap room as you may think going into the future. So those are all issues you have to take care of. And when you get to draft the players, they're cheap.
Yep.
They're easy to get. And that's a real, really big benefit.
Yeah, that's very, very true. So I mentioned our covers look a little bit bare at offensive tackle, defensive tackle, and linebacker. What are your thoughts about those positions in general?
I worry about defensive tackle, right?
Yeah.
And actually most positions, because if one guy is going to go down, you're stuck with nothing. And people are going to go down. This is the NFL. People get injured. It happens. So if Gerald McCoy goes down, your entire defensive line is screwed. There's no one behind him who can fill in.
No, and like Steve said, we just cut the only real three technique that was left on the roster.
Well, I don't think...
Not that he was a great one, but, I mean, who else is going to go play that?
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're putting Corby Irvin there, you're screwed, too. So I don't think that matters much.
Okay. So,
but, I mean,
that's a legit concern, right? I mean, defensive tackle, even if you don't look at Gerald McCoy's position, we're, I believe at this point, maybe they're counting on Gary Gibson. Maybe this is what we're not giving enough credit towards. Maybe they think that he or Derek Landry are going to step up and have solid contributions, and that gives us a rotation.
Yeah, and expense. And, I mean, all three of the guy, of those guys, they really fit that tilted nose tackle position really well because you want those undersized, kind of stocky guys who can move well and who you can stunt off of. That's what they want at the position. And those guys, I think they really can do that. And I'm not that worried about nose tackle. I'm much more worried about three technique.
B. Wall Street says we're fine at D-tackle. I'm not sure why. B. Wall Street, let us know in the chat room why you think we're so good at D-tackle, because I'm scared shitless about D-tackle. And I heard you say tilted nose. A couple of other people said it. And I've had... Tilted nose is almost like... I can't think of a good analogy now. Things that come in and out of vogue so quickly. Maybe bell bottoms. I don't know. Because depending on who you speak to, the tilted nose is the greatest way to line up your nose tackle, or the worst because of the way it shades his cover or his attack line. So, are we going to line tilted? Are we going to line up square? Right. I mean, who?
You couldn't line up tilted. Okay. I mean, I've got an article coming out either tomorrow or on Saturday on the tilted nose and like the history of the tilted nose tackle. And the stunt 4-3, and it goes way back, like to the Steelers in the 70s and all that shit. It's pretty interesting. But that's the basis of this defensive line. They want a tilted nose tackle, and everything they do is built around that position, kind of.
And this is why I want people to read your site. This and the, what the hell's the name of the other article series? Is it Fred's article that he's doing? The one where he's going through the plays, the key plays of every game last year?
Yeah, that's Fred the Gurr.
I thought so.
Gurr Samuel.
Yeah, if you guys have not checked out these articles, essentially he goes through every game of the year, and they're not all up there. I think I saw the one from Carolina last year.
Yeah, the first week is the only one that's up there.
Yeah, and there's a key play that was a turning point in the game that he goes through in diagrams at an just a disgusting level of detail. So if you're a football geek, that's a good one. So you definitely need to see that. Sapp never tilted because he was playing the three technique. They typically tilt the nose tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, on the tilt nose tackle, I'm not saying it's a good thing or it's a bad thing. That's just what they want to do. Like, that's the design of their defense.
So, and so that's an interesting point you just made, Sanders. So, you're not assigning whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, but that's what they want to do. That's like us talking last year about leaving corners on an island and blitzing, even though we showed no real capability to blitz and get home. Whether we like it or not, it's the system that this coaching staff wants to run.
Yeah.
And by God, they're going to run until they get the personnel. Now, you guys have been listening to me now for I don't know how long, but I hate jamming my personnel into a system. I usually try and adjust my system for my personnel, and I will be interested to see if they do much of that. Now, fortunately, in the defensive backfield now, with some of the acquisitions, it looks like we've got a little bit more flexibility back there. You've got to be excited a little bit about what's happening in the defensive backfield, right, Sander?
Yeah, and I mean, you can see that what they did last year, they just had their system and they jammed everyone in there and it didn't work. And you can see that they spent this offseason getting the guys for their system so it can work. I mean, that's what Darrell Reeves is for. That's what Deshaun Golson is for. That's what Jonathan Banks is for. They can play those positions the way they want it to be played. And if you look at the secondary, if Jonathan Banks lives up to his draft status, that may be the best secondary in the NFL, just on pure talent. Whether they can play to that, we'll see. But on pure talent, that's a great group of guys.
Well, and it's interesting to see with the change in that defensive backfield, right? Because I've been beating up our inability to blitz forever. Even when we had a decent secondary, we couldn't blitz. Back in the old days when we were running primarily a Tampa 2 over 50% of the snaps, we still couldn't blitz. It's almost as though we had some sort of a organizational inability to blitz. When we got pressure, it was with our front four.
Yeah.
Occasionally, we would send one linebacker, right? But these esoteric, crazy, looping bullshit blitzes just don't typically work for us, which is weird.
Which is really weird.
I just don't get it, because we have athletes. And you look at these guys, and remember back when we got Quincy Black, and who was the other cat that came in around the same time who looked like him, all cut up? You look at these guys that were Lobo backers, and they're fast, and you think they'd be able to do it, and they just could not make it happen. But regardless, let's move over to Glennon. Talk a little bit about Glennon, what you discovered when you're doing your analysis, and why you think he may be reminiscent of a young Matt Ryan.
Well, the comparison is a bit based off of what Greg Cosell keeps saying. Like, he talked to the coaching staff at NC State, and they say he is like Matt Ryan.
And they should know, right?
Yeah, they should know. And because they were at Boston College.
They were Boston
Ryan
College,
at Boston
exactly.
College. Right. And when you start watching Mike Glennon, you can really see it, because he throws the ball similarly. Yes, everything about Mike Glennon reminds you of Matt Ryan. He's tall, he's lanky, he needs room to move and to step into his throws to get the ball off, right? And that's what Matt Ryan's biggest problem is. If you get pressure in his face, he breaks down, and the same is true for Mike Glennon. So he's like Ryan, both in the positive and in the negatives. The difference is that he makes worse decisions than Matt Ryan does, and he's a little less accurate or less consistent with his accuracy than Matt Ryan is, and that's why he went in the third round and Matt Ryan went in the top five, right? That's the biggest difference I see.
Well, and it's interesting. You say he breaks down with pressure in his face. Well, most quarterbacks are going to break down with pressure in their face, right?
Yeah.
These guys are prototypical pocket passers. Matt Ryan's not going to go on boots and waggles, right? He's going to take his drop, make his reads, release the ball. And
yep.
when we do breakdowns, when we face a quarterback like that, it's the same thing with a Peyton Manning. And no, before anyone starts asking this question, Jesus Christ, no, I'm not comparing him to Peyton Manning. But passers like that who are straight back, read, step, throw, you get them by coming up the middle.
Yeah, right? You do. But that, I mean, that's kind of a difference, because if you get someone like Josh Freeman, he can still get the ball off while he gets pressure in the face. And it might not be pretty, but he can do it. And that's worse with Matt Ryan. And I think both Matt Ryan and Mike Lennon struggle to move within the pocket, like mm-hmm. to create some space for themselves. And that's where you see someone like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning really excel, despite being prototypical pocket passes, right? And well, both Mike Lennon and Matt Ryan struggle to do that.
And what's interesting is that this coaching staff seemed to be good at instilling that. Eli Manning wasn't
yeah.
notorious for that, and then he got much, much better under the tutelage of these folks, right? So it's in my experience, it's one of those things where experience matters. And at the end of this article you had about Glidden, I think you led into the conclusion article with, but Josh Freeman is still better,
yeah.
right? And that's really where we're looking at as Bucks fans. This is his make-or-break year. He should be better, for God's sakes. He's got
yeah.
years in the NFL. He's been facing this kind of competition. Pull out your crystal ball. You know, I tell Steve White to do this every once in a while. He laughs at me. Pull out your crystal ball. What do you see happening out of the quarterback position for the Bucks this year? Do you think that Freeman's going to be able to put together 16 games?
Yeah, I do. Barring injury, obviously. But, yeah, he should be fine. He has a couple of things to work on, and those are really clear. And he knows what those things are, I think. He has to get his footwork right, and he has to understand the offense better. Well, that's what he's working on. And I really see no reason why he couldn't do that, because we've seen both things work for him before.
Right.
And if he does that, he'll be fine. The Bucks will win a ton of games, and he'll get a contract extension. And we'll see what happens with Mike Lennon in the future. But he won't get the start if that happens.
Well, and that's the next question, is does he even progress to the point where he's number two, right? Do you see him beating out of Dan Orlovsky?
I do.
You do?
I mean, yeah. Well, let me put it like this. If you're going to draft someone in the third round, a quarterback in the third round,
you're not putting him on the practice squad.
No. He's going to be on the roster.
Yeah.
And they have no need for three quarterbacks on the roster, so Dan Orlovsky's basically gone.
Yeah, that's a very good point. With the way they changed the roster, you're not going to keep three. That
yeah.
is a thing of the past. Okay, so a couple of other questions. I know it's probably time for breakfast for you at this point. What time is it where you're at? I want the folks here on the show to realize how late you're staying up.
It's half past three.
Half past three, Sanders is staying up. And the only reason that Fred the Gurr is staying up is out of shame, because he
yeah.
would normally have been asleep 6 hours ago.
Sucker.
So one of the questions is around defensive line depth. There's a lot of discussion about the incredible falling price of Dwight Freeney. Do you see any chance of the Bucks making a play for those cats, either Freeney or Abraham, or do you see them giving their guys an opportunity, meaning Daquan Bowers and Adrian Claiborne, to get all that extra burn?
I don't think they go for them. They drafted a bunch of guys. They want to get Claiborne and Bowers a bunch of playing time. They drafted two defensive ends. So both of those guys are going to be on the roster, and both of those guys are not going to be displaced by Freeney or Abraham. And they have Daniel Tionesheim, who is also going to be on the roster. So there's really no real room for Freeney or Abraham to even be on the roster, let alone be signed to like $3 million, which then hurts them in future years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. Well, and it's interesting to see Daniel Tionesheim's got a lock, right? When
yeah.
we're like, last year when he came in, we were all scared shitless, right?
Well, and he wasn't even that good. Right?
No, but he was the guy that no one was paying attention to.
But he was good enough.
Yeah, well, no one was paying attention to him, and so he took advantage, which is great. That's what he had to do. No one's going to game plan Daniel Tionesheim.
Oh, no way.
Right? So, son, go do work. If they're not going to game plan you, make them pay for not game planning you, right? They're going to
yeah.
ignore you, keep sacking them, you know? And that's what he did. He went and chopped wood, which is great. Last question for you, and then you have to answer the question. We all thought you were from the UK. I thought you were from Denmark. Netherlands, where is it? We got a bunch of people trying to guess on the accent.
It's the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, look at that.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you most looking forward to see out of training camp? What are the top three things that you want to see come out of training camp? Maybe questions you want the questions you want cleared up or people you want to see rise, cream separate, that sort of thing?
That's a good question. I want to see if Darrell Reeves is healthy and whether he can move. That is going to be the biggest difference maker between wins and losses this year, is whether he can move the way he did.
Nice.
That's one. I want to see if Josh Freeman fixes his footwork in training camp with no pressure. Because if he can't do it then, he won't be able to do it in games. Right? So that's two, and that's going to be a huge difference. And I want to see who will be the third wideout. Because we've got like 20 different wide receivers competing for that spot, and someone is going to rise to the top, and I want to see who that is.
All right. So we got, is Revis healthy, which is a great one, and that's, you know, the million-dollar question. Actually,
yeah,
more like the $16 million question. How will Josh look in camp? And to be honest, I don't think Josh is going to look bad in camp. He didn't look bad in camp last year. I think having another year under his belt is going to be good. But Josh's problems are what Josh's problems are, and we got to see him advance in those things.
Yeah.
One, when he gets nervous, he fixates on his primary read, which everyone in the universe knows now, even though we knew it years ago. And he's got to get better at recognizing coverages so that he can look off that primary read. Really, that's the way to make this easier for himself. And he spends the time in the film room, get in there, understand what the defense is looking for, set them up. You don't have to make it be a real-time decision, and I hope a coach somewhere is telling him that. You don't have to just get smarter and faster. You can get cagier. Right, set the defense up by staring them down. Give them what they want. They want to see you stare a receiver down. Stare them down, knowing you're going to go to a different read. This is not fucking rocket science, and it pisses me off at the NFL level that for some reason no one's telling him this, or if they're telling him, he's not listening. And then the last point, what was the last point?
Third receiver.
Oh, third receiver. So yeah, and I pulled up the receiver stack. I want to give you guys a little list here because this is fun. I went and did the same thing. I rank our top five. Our top five, Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams, Steve Smith, Kevin Ogletree, and Tyquan Underwood, as I have them listed currently. The rest of the list, however, poor Sammy Strotter is the unrestricted free agent. He's probably gone, in my opinion. Roscoe Parrish, potentially the same thing. Tim Wright, Eric Page, Chris Owusu, DJ Monroe, Jerry Johnson, and David Douglas with a collective, who the fuck are they? You know? So, anyway, that's the wrap-up for us. Sander, can you tell people a little bit about Bucks Nation, what you guys do, why you do it, how they can interact with you? Because I obviously think highly about the material you put out there, and I want our folks to take advantage of it.
Yeah, so you can check us out at BucksNation.com. We write a ton of stuff on the Bucks, 5-6 articles per day, lots of content. You can get on the site, interact with the fans, interact with everyone else, publish your own material there if you want. It's made for fan interaction. And you can follow us at Bucks_Nation on Twitter and like us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/BucksNation.
Well, there you go. Sander, I want to thank you again for staying up late by shaming Fred DeGur as well. And I will see
you
on Twitter as always. Feel free to stay around if you'd like to. The people in the chat room are going crazy back here. I'm sure if they saw you show up and interact, they would enjoy that tremendously. But you might actually need to sleep if you have a real job.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go get like 3 hours of sleep.
All right. Well, thanks again, Sander. We'll see you on Twitter.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Sander P. from Bucks Nation, always entertaining and always informative. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that little segment. Hey, Leo is helping with the shaming of Fred. See, Fred, this is the magic you can have, too. You're a smart guy. I'd love to have you on the show talking about shit like this. But, oh, no, I can't stay up this late. It's all good. I'm going to check the mailbag and see if you guys have some questions. Then we're going to get into some more discussions about this. You know, it's interesting. The big question is about Revis and his health, you know, and when you put that in there, and I saw Roman say, well, the $16 million is not guaranteed. They're still paying his ass this year. He's getting $16 million. I don't think there's any void available in the contract. Now, we had a question come in from Bucko Pat. As a fan, do you think Sapp is the greatest Buck player ever? And as a media person, ooh, that's a stretch, do you feel the same way? And do you feel the media thinks differently than fans do about these type of subjects? So, first, my caveat is I don't know that I'm really a media person. I'm more of a poser media person, so I'll wear that hat. He's my favorite as a fan, right? And realize that I grew up when the Bucks were just coming into prominence, right? I was born in 72. I became a fan in 76. I remember the days with Doug Williams and Ricky Bell and Leroy Selman. I remember these guys, right? And then Kevin House and Jimmy Giles. I remember who these guys are, right? And I love them. And I love what Leroy Selman did, and he could devastate a team, and he was really the only guy of any skill for a while, and he still did it, which is amazing, but I didn't live through it the way I lived through what Sapp did. Right? So, from my perspective, as, I guess, a relatively young fan in that regard, to me, Sapp is probably the most dominant Buck ever. Right? He's the guy they always had to put on the whiteboard. And Leo, I see what you're saying about Leroy. I totally understand that. And I'm not even saying that you're wrong. The guy was a monster. Right? But in my lifetime, I think Sapp would probably fill that role. I think had they not made the decision to go Booger instead of Sapp, this wouldn't even be a question. Right? Because he would have been in this defense, and he would have gotten another couple of productive years, and it would be a close thing. Now, does the media look at it a different way? Yes. I think because the media doesn't give a shit about this, because a lot of media tries to pretend to be objective, right? The ones who are fans are quite often fans of another team, not in their local geography, because they feel as though they would be biased by that, and I just don't care, right? And Rook said something very powerful there. You didn't realize how good the guy was until he was gone. You don't realize how much he transformed that position, and he was saying that on the way out. He's like, I'm not asking for more. Give me the same contract. Every game, they put 99 on the board and have to figure out how to stop me. Right? And that was true. It was absolutely true. And a consummate team player. So you may have bought into the hype about him being a dick to people out in Tampa. That's what the guy at the bar was all mad about. But I'm not that concerned. So, Paige. So we got B. Wall Street wants to talk about Paige. Who are you talking about? Why do I not know who you're talking about? First team over 5 TDs. Now I feel like an asshole. I don't even know who he's talking about. Is this a free agent? I admittedly haven't been paying attention to the free agents at this point, but we'll do it. He's very excited, and Wall Street had some really good feedback on the defensive tackle rotation, so I will make sure that I go back and check that out. Anyway, I can't read that much stuff in the chat room. Sorry, diehard. That's too much stuff. Anyway, we talked to Sander for a while. We talked about the draft party. Rondae Barber. You want him back or do you not want him back? By the way, the phones are open now. So I had some heat I took from some people last week. The phone lines are open for the last 18 minutes of the show. It's 813-964-7364. That's 813-964-7364. If you'd like to call in and get your opinion heard, you can do so. I'm happy to take your calls. We'll try and have an intelligent conversation as best we do. Best ever, he says. I don't know who Skip's talking about, whether he's talking about Sapp or he's talking about Ron. Eric Page, wide receiver out of Toledo. So we got an Eric Page lover out there. Got good numbers out of Toledo. That'll be good to see. Numbers out of Toledo don't really hit me that hard, but again, I've never claimed to be a draft guy, right? I want to go out to training camp. You guys who've been with me for a while know how I do my assessments. I'll look at the data, I'll make some calls, and then I want to go out there and I want to see what they look like playing against these other pros. That's going to be the difference. And of course, Roman's all over Mike James is nuts because he's from the U. If there were a Florida State guy out there, Bucko Pat would be on his nuts. Old school, have you read how Freeman is taking Glennon under his wing? No, I haven't, but it wouldn't surprise me. The quarterback room has always been relatively tight-knit, regardless of who's been in that stack. Rudy Carpenter, all those guys got along very, very well. So that's Rocky Marciano. So I'm sure we'll miss Rondae if he doesn't come back on the field, but as a leader and example, we'll miss Rondae. Oh, so this is interesting. So Leo brings up an interesting question. So, and Spent and I were talking about this the other day, too. I don't think anyone who's a Bucks fan doesn't love Rondae. Oh, we got a call coming in here from the 315. Hello, welcome to What the Buck. Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Andrew from New York.
Hey there, how are you, sir?
I'm good, how are you?
Quite well. What can we do for you this evening? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about some Eric Page, man.
All right, bring it, Mr. Toledo, bring it. What should we be looking forward to?
This kid has Wes Welker potential in our offense with Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams on the outside.
Okay. And you see that because of what he did in college. I imagine he's saying physical, but I know absolutely zero about what this kid is. So you are our resident Eric Page expert. Excite us.
He was Tavon Austin at West Virginia, except he did it at Toledo. Everybody wanted to criticize him because of the small school the lack of competition. He was a All-American first teamer for a returner, four kick returns for touchdowns, one punt return, I believe, 1,100 yards, 80 receptions every single year, seven touchdowns at least every single year, caught two receptions in every single game he played in college. He's nuts.
That's pretty stout. It's pretty stout. How did he do at the combine?
I think he did all right at the combine. I think he ran a little slow. He's not a real speedy guy, but he's got the shiftiness to make people miss right off the line and to work in small areas.
Okay.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got you. He had a 4.5 40 in the combine, which, you know, not bad, especially for a slot guy. He's got some strength at his size. He's light. He's 186 pounds. He did 15 reps. No wonder lick on him.
The thing I love about him is that he came out last year, okay? They tried to sign him. He went to Denver, okay? He tore his ACL. They waited a year, and they went and got him again. So that's twice in 2 years they tried to sign the kid. Clearly Mark Dominic has a thing for him, and clearly Mark thinks that he would work in our offense.
Well, that's true, and it's interesting because we've tried a couple of guys that seem to be built that way. I'm just looking at, you know, one picture of him, right? And it's hard to judge. It's hard to compare. Right? But you got Sammy Strouder and the other lookalikes that we had that we always tried to put into the slot. The problem that I have with the slot receivers in this offense is, to be honest, Josh. Josh does not throw the drags particularly well, and that's something they've got to work on irrespective of who the receiver is. You can be the greatest slot receiver in the world. The thing that made Wes Welker effective, and the thing that actually made any slot receiver effective, is their quarterback leading them, so they're running onto the ball, hitting it in stride, and they can take off on it.
That is definitely true. I think Freeman, I think he takes a little too much heat for it. I think he's better than people give him credit for. They act like he can't hit a broadside of a barn. He obviously can, or else he wouldn't be a quarterback in the NFL.
True story.
I mean, we got to work over the middle better. We clearly don't have an option at tight end. Page could be that guy. I think the other receivers we have are best suited for other roles. Kevin Ogletree is probably a better backup for like a guy like Vincent Jackson or Mike Williams instead of being in the slot. You know,
and
Page has that production. I mean, he tore people up in college, man. I watched him come up here. I'm in New York. I watched him come here to Syracuse, tear us up, man. Tore us up.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, man. We appreciate, I know I appreciate, and the people in the chat room are saying they do too. This is good when you have someone who knows someone intimately, right? And that's why I made the comment about Glennon that I made coming off of Doug Martin last year. And why I think he's a stretch at three, this front office trusts their regional scouts. If their regional scouts go all in on someone, they don't push back on them because they figure they're closest to the situation. They're going to make the right call. So, you know, if this kid can go and produce, that's terrific, man. But that's good info, man. What else you got for us?
I like the D-line rotation, man. I think people are, you know, stressing out a little bit too much. I think Spence is going to come in. He's going to start a nose tackle next to McCoy. I think Gibson's going to back him up. Landry's obviously not great, but he could back McCoy up unless he misses a ton of time. We're not going to really be hurt by that. You know, Golston can kick inside on like third downs and passing situations and rush from the inside. We got that kid Means who looks like he could be an absolute beast if they use him correctly.
Well, and this is the thing, and this is what I started out with on the show. The problem I have is when you put so much hope in these draft kids. And when you've got guys that came out that were legitimate, like rock star, top 10 first round draft picks who come in and do absolutely fuck all playing against grown men, and you got these guys who weren't. That's not to say that these other guys can't produce. It's that you're putting a whole lot of faith in someone who did not make that big of a splash, right? So that's why I tend to be the guy who wants a couple more of those gray beards around. I'd feel a lot happier if I still had Roy Miller on this roster, or Michael Bennett, you know what I mean?
Look what they did at their secondary, though. It's going to make the D-line so much better. I know people probably don't know a lot about this Banks kid. He's my favorite player in the draft. I actually think he has potential to be the best corner in this draft. SEC, 3-plus-year starter. One thing about Banks, nobody knows. He's the only man to ever, ever pick Tim Tebow off twice in a game. He took them both to the house as a freshman in Florida.
That's all right,
at the Swamp, took them both to the house. The only man to ever pick off Tim Tebow twice, Jonathan Banks.
Well, that's because Tim Tebow only threw four passes a game, though. So, I mean, I'm just kidding. Hey, thanks for calling, man. It's good to have someone actually have the balls to
I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, take care, man. That was good stuff to have a caller call in here and talk about Eric Page, who we didn't know. That's good stuff. Like I said, I think Jonathan Banks is a good pickup. He fits the mold. Tall, rangy. It will be interesting to see what he's able to do. Ben was a horrible reach. You guys know that I liked Ben. I still don't think we used Ben right. I think he's going to be productive elsewhere. Freeman hit Winslow great in the slot, but not on a lot. So here's the thing. So Buck Pryde, this is an interesting point you make. Look at who he does hit in the slot. They're guys that are running comebacks, curls, hooks. Occasionally you'd get Winslow on a drag, but it was usually a medium drag, and Winslow wasn't fast. It was an easier target. You've really got to lead these quick guys, these Welkers, these guys. Even Joe Jaravicious back in the old day when he'd run the drag route in the West Coast offense. It's the same thing. The quarterback has to have great anticipation and throw the ball to a spot and let him run into it. And it's not that Josh can't make that throw. He absolutely can. He just has to make that throw. That's the difference. But otherwise, Buck Pryde, you're absolutely right. He has shown an ability to read that area of the field relatively well. So we've got to see him put all of the rest of it together. So we almost all showed us saying Tebow's name. Well, fortunately, we didn't say his name about being quarterback. And it's not because I have anything against Tebow. He seems like a good enough kid. But I sure as hell didn't want him here. I am very surprised that he's not in Jacksonville at this point to sell some seats. But regardless, Underwood has potential. Ben did not. Zeller, you're high, brother. You're absolutely high. Underwood got the opportunity to perform last year and then shrunk. Landy is the USF tight end, which is interesting. The one who we haven't talked about, we talked about last week with Steve White, is George Selvey. I think that's going to be a good pickup, too. Hey, if we're talking about wide receivers, who could have been blocking tight ends? How sure are we going to have to talk about Mike Clayton, old Stonehands Clayton? Why you got to bust up Mike Clayton? Come on, he's got a Super Bowl ring. What the fuck do you have, Fred? Huh? I'm just kidding. That's a shame. That goes to show how psychological this game is, right? He had all the talent in the world. He was a great practice player, right? But he couldn't put it together. Legs Benny says, sorry, we don't want winners like Tebow here. See, that's the argument that I don't get. And Legs, you've been money so far tonight, but I don't get that concept. I'm not saying he's a bad kid. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. The question I have is he a quarterback at this level? They changed the entire offense for him in Denver, and he produced well enough to win a game in the playoffs, but it sure as hell wasn't on the strength of his arm. He is a guy who is gritty. I think the best thing Tim Tebow could do is go the route of Jeff Garcia or Doug Flutie. Go to Canada, get your throwing motion, I don't care if you change it tremendously, but get it to the point where you can be more accurate more consistently and then come back down. And that winning attitude he has can translate. He's just not ready for this level of competition, I don't think, as a quarterback, and I don't think making him something else makes any sense. He's a quarterback, he's always been one. I really don't understand why people want to try to make him a fullback or an H-back because he's smart. Why have I only heard Tebow could be used in New England and Tampa? I have not heard that at all, Roman, so I have no idea. I would have thought a team that uses more of a spread offense would have been good, but the problem is most of the guys that are running that, whether it's the 49ers version of it or the Redskins version of it, also have a very significant vertical aspect to it. And Tim just hasn't shown that ability at this level because there's too much, the distance between your receiver and the DB is not as significant. In college, the talent disparity was significant enough. So, yeah, the problem is that RG3 will step back off of that spread option and he'll throw a ball 50, 60 yards down the field, right? I know, Rook, I was busting his balls about the Super Bowl ring. Come on, you know better than that. Buck Pryde, I agree that a Winslow type receiver could be dangerous with these guys on the wings. So I want to make sure I clarify. I want to clarify St. Louis could be a good fit. Really? You think? With Oklahoma kid, right? What the fuck? Why can't I remember his name? Quarterback there. They don't run a spread, do they? That seems like an odd mix. So Leo, I didn't think it was that great a vertical ball. He was throwing to guys that could outrun people by 10, 15 yards. But again, I'm not a huge college guy. When I went back and watched the tape, that's what I saw. So again, if you guys think Tebow's a good fit, make a good case for it. I just don't see it. I haven't seen it, period. And if you can't unseat Sanchez, I don't understand. picture of me wearing a Super Bowl ring. Oh, Clayton's, yeah. How about bringing Clark back? At this point, Bradford, Sam Bradford. Thank you, Will. Yeah, that's why I don't think St. Louis makes sense, but maybe it does. Who knows? Rice Krispie Bradford. Nice. I hope we don't ever do Hard Knocks. Ever. Thank you, Jonathan. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. Manti Te'o's girlfriend over there filling your glass back up with Strawberry Crystal Light. It's a full glass every time you take a drink. No, but I have deceptively long arms. And if Manti Te'o's girlfriend was over here, she wouldn't be to my left. She'd be under the table. Just kidding. God, I hope my wife's not listening to the show. I'm fucked. There was something else I was going to say. And I don't know. And the CFL isn't the place for him. His problem is accuracy. He's not going to flourish in a more pass-oriented league. I think Warren Moon and Fred DeGuerre are wrong. It's an opportunity for him to get snaps. I don't think that the competition level there is as high as it is here, and it's a chance for him to get a chance to play. So, at any rate, we can agree to disagree, as it were. Damn it, I was going to say something else. Levante's progression in coverage this year. Yeah, I think that these guys in their second year are going to be interesting to see. The defense is going to be interesting to see. The offense in its second year is going to be interesting to see. This is the wild card. For me being all Chicken Little, sky is falling, some bitch tonight, this is a second year understanding what you're doing. You're not having to implement. They're not having to do install right now in these minicamps. It isn't real football. I love it. I don't make record predictions until after training camp. You know that. Bring back NFL Europe. More football is better football. That's all I'm saying. This is not install time. This is, you have to install with the rookies, obviously, but the difference is you're able to really kind of open things up, and that's what's going to happen. Bring on Hard Knocks. No, fuck that. I got no interest in Hard Knocks. I want no more variety. So, let me see here. Tebow's going to be undone by the... Oh, I don't care. I'm done with Tebow. I don't give a shit. He doesn't play. Right now, he's unemployed. The Omaha Beef are the only people with a contract on the table, and it's $75 a game. So, there you have it. That's done. Covered that. Hey, no more LeGarrette Blount to bring to beat up. LeGarrette's gone. That gives us Jeff Demps if he ever wants to play. That's one. I agree. Pride. I'm with you. Do we have a QB controversy? We're going to have one. The media is going to create one, whether we have one or not. So we'll see how that plays out. Regardless, USFL starting again would be an interesting topic for another show because I think more football is better. Will Jeff Demps be our... The question is, will Jeff Demps play football? And if Jeff Demps play football, is he in football shape? And then will he be anything on this team? The kid was an interesting talent. It would be intriguing if he's healthy to have him in. But, we'll see, and I agree, I think he is more of a return guy. He's kind of that weird... It almost sucks to take up a roster spot for that, but we'll have to see how it works out. But with LeGarrette Blount gone, we'll be done with that kind of bullshit, people talking about that. Mike James, who knows if he's going to be able to get burned? The person that's lost in this whole discussion got an offer from the LFL. If he's smart, he'd take it because they are fire. By the way, I may go to the LFL game in Jacksonville on the 25th if any of you guys are interested, so hit me up on the questions line if you guys are interested. It's the Breeze and the Baltimore Charm. What did I want to look up? Running back stack. So we all know Doug Martin, end of list. Now, Michael Smith, if you recall last year, everyone was very excited about Michael Smith, right? Yeah, I know, Leo. Leo, it's going to get ugly, brother. It really is. I'm going to be intrigued to find out what Michael Smith has this year, because we hit him pretty well last year, and this is a kid who's wicked fast, got great hands out of the backfield. We could very well see this situation. You're all over Leonard? Yeah, Brian Leonard, the Rutgers kid? Yeah. We could see a situation where we have this depth that people are all excited about, and we just don't have it on paper yet. We won't see it until it gets out of the training camp. So I want to wrap up tonight with a couple of things. First and foremost, thank you guys for joining the show. I think that it's awesome that you guys are here. We will be getting back onto a regular schedule, I promise, as things start to fire up. I agree. I think that Blount will do fine somewhere else. He's a 1,000-yard back. He can go do that somewhere else. It just didn't fit here. I don't know him personally that well. I don't really give a shit, but he's not a Buck anymore. Boo Smith, boo. Why do you want to boo Smith? That's weird. What did he do to get booed? Wall Street? That's odd. Who's the fast guy Gruden had in 2007? Was fast like Smith. Oh, shit. I can't remember. I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah, and it could be that, where you have this super... The rocket backfield is where we're going to use him in. Damn it! Who the fuck was that? He was very... Michael Bennett. It was Michael Bennett. And we never got a chance to use him effectively, and then he went off to San Diego. So, it wasn't Clifton Smith. Anyway, we will see how this whole thing works out. Training camp. If you are local, get out to training camp. It is absolutely worth it. If you haven't heard me ramble about this, find out the schedule, get your tickets, and go there. It's worth seeing all of the events. It's worth talking to the players. It's probably the best off-season event you can go to. With regards to us, we don't have anything big planned right now. Thank you for all the peanut butter. Please do pay attention. Follow us on Twitter at WhatTheBuck. Get out there on Facebook to facebook.com/WhatTheBuck. Get out to our website, WhatTheBuck.net. If you're interested in writing for us, let me know. I'm looking for writers. I got a couple of guys who I love when they write, but they're not available very often, so it really, really hurts. I'd love to get some writers. I need to talk to Sander, find out what the hell is he giving these guys wooden shoes? How does he get people to write for him over there? Maybe I should talk to Fred the Gurr and find out why the hell that's the situation, because I can outpay him in wooden shoes. But regardless, thank you guys for all the support. As soon as we have some more announcements, we will make sure we let you guys know what it is. More updates as we get them. Big congratulations to Warren Sapp. With that being said, who's Mr. August? We don't know who Mr. August is going to be this year. I have to see some of these guys before I'm going to make any of these calls. But I'm just kind of old school and traditional like that. So I will put the audio file up on the website tonight as well for you guys that want it. Backup running back right now, I'd have to put Smith slotted in that spot simply because he's got experience there. But not much. Right now I think he's probably an open... I think we got a couple of really open competitions at skill positions, which is really weird. So, anyway, thanks to everyone for joining. Let me do a little shout-out. Buck for Life, Spent, Will Hoyler, Gurr the Fred, Jeff, New York Bucks fan, Daniel Buckshreve, Adam Ho, Roman, Captain Bones, Bucko Pat, Komodo Young, Scott Clitheroe, B. Sizzle, Richard Zeller, Skip Brown, Jonathan Miles, Buckboy, B. Wall Street, Die Hard, Cali Buck, Shane Crabtree, Chain, Buck Pride, Legs Benedict, great name, by the way, and Eggs Benedict is delicious, Indiana Buck fan, Leo TPP, Guest 559, and the viewer whose name is not out there. Great to have you guys here. We will continue doing that, and we will look up Eric Page. I love your passion around Eric Page. So that's our homework assignment, folks. Go find out about if we're going to have an Eric Page fan club. Maybe he's going to become Mr. August. With that being said, for the What the Buck crew, I am out of here.
Work. Hello, boys. Have a good night's rest. Thanks for tuning in to What the Buck, brought to you live by WhatTheBuck.net and the Moohead Radio Network. Make sure you register at www.whatthebuck.net and subscribe to us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/WhatTheBuck to receive news about the show and overall Bucks news in general. Until next time, keep emailing your questions to questions@whatthebuck.net. And most of all, keep supporting your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On behalf of Old School, the Doc, and the rest of the What the Buck crew, this is Big Pie Zahn saying goodnight, and see you next time. And most of all, go Buccaneers.